But chapter 4, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then Joshua. Joshua, chapter number 4. And you're going to help me with this reading this morning, right? Amen. Okay, thank you. We're going to read verses 1 through 10 responsively. I'll read verse 1 and you read verse 2, please. We'll go back and forth until we finish with verse number 10, and then I'll have one more verse I'll read after that. Joshua chapter 4, verse 1 says, "And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night." Joshua said unto them, "Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel." Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. Would you look down to verse number 19, please, with me? Here's what it says. "And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho." The Bible says their camp was just over the border of Jericho, right on the other side of the river. They had just stepped into the land of Canaan, things that they had been praying for and envisioning for hundreds of years. Now they're there. And we know some of the story after that. There's a lot of battles to come. None of that had started yet. None of that had necessarily really taken force yet. But the Bible tells us that when they walked across that river, the Jordan, while it was dry, Joshua gave a command that they were to make a memorial that no one would forget the Lord that day, or in the future either. A memorial is a place of remembrance. It's a place to remember those things that are commemorated. As we mentioned, tomorrow is Veterans Day. Originally, it was called Armistice Day. As a matter of fact, it was set as a U.S. holiday to honor the end of World War I, which took place on November 11th. 1918, 101 years ago. In 1938, Congress declared November 11th to be dedicated to the cause of world peace and to be hereafter celebrated and known as Armistice Day, honoring World War I veterans. Well, of course, after that, other wars have come in our history and in the history of the world. So in 1954, the 83rd Congress amended the act by replacing it with the words Veterans Day instead of just Armistice. November 11th became a day to honor American veterans of all wars. And as a Christian, the Bible tells us we would do well to render therefore honor to whom honor is due. Gilgal was the first camp site in Canaan. It's the first place that all the people left the wilderness. The name Gilgal really means circle, circle. And I think it's more of what they did as a particular place that they were at. They camped in a circle. In years to come, following that, a school for prophets and preachers would be established there in Gilgal by Elijah and Elisha, both great prophets themselves. But as we look at this chapter today, as we look at other parts of Scripture, I believe God wants us to consider and urges us to be a people who remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. I praise the Lord for our military. I praise the Lord for our first responders and all those who look out for our safety and well-being. But without the Lord, it's only as good as my next breath in this life. There's an eternity with God's help. There's an eternity of knowing Him. There's an eternity of things that God promises and will be true. He says, be a people who remember the Lord. As we look out over the media today, if you're one who does, Facebook and other places on the internet, the news channels or publications, there's not a lot of encouragement to remember the Lord. In fact, it seems that they're asking us or telling us to do the opposite. Forget the Lord. But friends, that could be why our country's in such dire straits, would you say? I'd like to encourage us today. I think God's Word gives us three ways we can remember the Lord. So this morning I'd like to share with you, this is the title, Be a People Who Remember the Lord. Let's go ahead and ask His help before we go any further, and then we'll see what the Lord has to say in His Word. Father, we thank You again for Your goodness to us. We thank You so much, God, that you watch over us each and every day in so many different ways and with various people. Yet, Lord, we still rely on You for every moment. And now we ask, we ask for Your strength and understanding. Lord, would You open up the Scriptures to us? I pray any distractions would be set aside for us and that the Holy Spirit would have His way. Lord, help us to be a broken people before You and then be a people who remember You, follow You. May You get the glory. If there's one person who needs Christ with us today, Lord, who needs to call on and receive that great gift that Jesus provides, I pray today would be the day that they make that step. Pray they wouldn't put it off any longer. Again, Lord, we ask You would get the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be a people who remember the Lord. The Bible says in verse number 7, take a look there again, please, in Joshua 4. He says this, then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. How often did the Jordan waters get cut off, folks? According to the Bible, it happened once. This didn't happen every day. This didn't even happen. We were there in the dry time couple years ago. My wife and I, the church sent us there. What a blessing to be able to go. And we were driving over this bridge, and here's this river about the width of our aisle of our church here, right in the center. And the guy gets on the speaker, who is our tour guide, and he says, okay, folks, we just went over the Jordan River. What? In the Bible, it sounds like it's humongous. It puts the Mississippi to shame, right? But in the dry season, it shrinks down, it shrinks down, it gets pretty narrow. There's not a lot there, especially certain spots. It would be understandable how the whole people could have walked through it, but yet it's still deep. It's still trashy. People still use it as waste today. Some people do. But the tour guide said during the rainy seasons, though, during the seasons when the waters get higher, this bridge itself that we're driving over often gets flooded out. It expanded and contracted, but the Bible tells us that God wanted His people to remember whatever time it was in the year, remember me for the miracles I do in your life. Number one, I'd like to share with you. You want to remember the Lord. You need to remember the Lord. Then remember God's miracles in your life. And there have been miracles in your life, friends. There have been miracles. The Bible tells us, number one, the Bible itself is a miracle from God. They would have had the ark, those priests and those men, as they stood in the midst. Bible tells us in chapter 3, when they stepped down into the water, immediately the waters went back and stopped miles this way and miles that way so that everything was dry. It was not, they weren't walking on mud. They walked on dry land. And it was inside that ark that contained what the Bible said calls the tablets of the law here in Joshua, or the Ark of the Testimony that had what God's laws were to his people, God's written word. God's word has been preserved for us ever since. The Bible has had a place throughout world history. That's not because they're Americans throughout history. It's because God's word is a miracle. By his has had a place for all time. God continues to preserve his word through the printed pages you and I have in our hands. How many have more than one Bible in their possession? Yeah, think of that. Whereas at some points in history, that a whole church may have only had one Bible. Some years ago, when I was a young boy, there was a visiting Russian pastor, a Baptist preacher. His name was Georgi Vins. Georgi Vins was one of the leaders of the Baptists in the 70s, the 60s, and early 50s. His father, before that, had won many people to Christ, a godly man by all accounts. But Georgi Vins would tell us stories, and I remember the one night we were there, the whole building was packed out. People had heard about his testimony. They wanted to hear about, this was in the 80s when Russia was still, not that they're our best friends today, but they were clearly not on our side at the time. And he used to say in the congregations, most of the time the pastor and maybe one other person or some of the more wealthy people in the church had a Bible, but the vast majority of the congregation did not. So what would they do? They would pass it around through the week. Pastor would preach, he'd share the message, and then through the week he'd pass it around to the various people, or others would pass it around, and they would memorize chapters of the Bible. Can you imagine not having a single copy of God's word? You and I have, by everyone's account, we have more than one, every one of us. I would say that's a miracle, that God's hand has opened up the scriptures so that anyone can have them, especially in our country. Psalm 100 and verse number 5, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations, the Bible says. You know the blessing of knowing about God's word, that it's a miracle, is that no matter what happens today, God says, I'm going to continue to preserve it for the next generation, and then the next generation, and then the next generation. He wants to use us to help get the word out, how important it is, but by his hand, we have it in our hands. Another thing I see as a miracle is life itself. Life is a miracle from God. Life is a miracle from God. Let's look at this one in the Bible. Psalm 139. Would you go there with me, please? Psalm 139. Life itself is a miracle. Look at verse number 13 with me and following. The psalmist here is David, giving praise to God through the whole chapter. And he says in verse number 13, for thou, speaking of God, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Oh, praise God for life. Praise God for life. The saddest things in our country is that we have lawful murder when it comes to children in their mother's womb. And friends, I want to tell you, the Bible does denounce that. It judges that. You say, well, I've been there. Can I tell you, first of all, God can forgive any sin. He can cleanse any heart. Aren't you thankful for that? Whether it's abortion, drugs, lying, stealing, He can cleanse it all. But I want to focus at the moment how important life is to God. He honors life. And it's a miracle that you and I even breathe today. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a good day? Have you ever had a good day? Now I'm here to tell you, I'm having a good day because it's the Lord's day, but physically I'm not having the best day. Some of us are in the same boat. But if you've ever had a good day, it's because God's miracle is He gave you life. He gave you life. He gives you the things that you can use and possess. His desire is that we use what we have for His glory, for His honor. But even when we don't, guess what? He still gives to us. That's unbelievable. You wouldn't do that to somebody, would you? If they didn't appreciate that, you'd stop. Fine. I'm cutting off my subscription, man. I don't need cable anymore. But that's God, because He loves us. He continues to bless us. Now, when we honor Him, guess what He does? He blesses in abundance, the Bible says. We might have life and life more abundantly. You see, God's in the business of healing the hurting. God's in the business of repairing the damaged, because He's the designer of life. He's the sustainer of life. It's a miracle. And praise God. Remember that. Remember that with Him. A third thought about remembering God's miracle is this. Of course, eternal life is a miracle from God. Romans 6 verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life. Eternal life. Amen. This is God's house. We've dedicated it to Him. And it's His. We want to do with it what He wants us to do. But being in this house is not going to get you to heaven. And it won't get me there either. Praise God for all these people who have given a profession of faith in Christ. And they're wonderful folks. But if I rub shoulders with them, that doesn't mean I'm going to catch salvation. I might catch a cold. And I'm not blaming anybody here yet this morning that it was from you. But that's not how you get saved. Right. Just being around saved people. Praise God for the Bible. Man, what a blessing. We already talked about it. God's truths are in there. The answer for salvation in Jesus is there. But just having it doesn't get you saved. It's putting your faith in Christ alone. Amen. And what He did on the cross for you. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Miracle. Miracle. We've known many people who put their faith in Christ and they're no longer with us. They've drawn their last breath. Whatever the case, they're not here today. But we believe according to the Bible. And it's not because they came back and told us from the dead. No, that's not what it is. It's what God says. That they live today in His presence. Their bodies are still in the graves or wherever they have been laid to rest. But someday, the Bible says, when the Savior comes back in the clouds, He'll reunite us, soul and body, to be with Him. And not only that, we won't have the same body. We'll have a glorified body, a new body. It'll be new in the image of Jesus, face to face with Him. What a miracle that will be. But the eternal life has started already. Amen. Started the moment you called on Jesus to save you. For me, that started when I was 6 years old. 6 years old. I had a new life and a new life in eternity. Do you have that, Luke? Do you have the new life? Do you have that? It's easy to do. God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
That's all you got to do. Jesus, Father, save me through what Christ did on the cross. I'm putting my faith in him. My sin is greater than I can pay, anybody can pay. Would you save me? Would you save me? Salvation is as easy as that. By faith, the Bible says, but he can save you today. Don't have to go through a 12-step program. Folks, if you do, if anyone tells you that, by the way, they're not using that book to direct you.
Right.
Bible says it's easy and clear. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Bible says eternal life is a miracle. Here's how we can remember the Lord. Remember his miracles. Remember his miracles. Number two. Verse number 8, back in Joshua, look there with me please, chapter 4 and verse 8. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. Bible says the people, the children of Israel, followed the commands of Joshua. Can I share with you this morning, to remember the Lord, we need to remember to obey the Lord. Remember to obey the Lord. Obedience, the Bible says, is following God's commands without delay. That's obedience. Obedience is when I know what God wants me to do, I'm doing it right now, right now. If he lays on my heart to do something that might take time to do, guess what? I'm going to start working on it right now. Remember to obey the Lord. Obedience, it's following God's commands without delay. It's not saying, yes, Lord, but not right now. Yes, Lord, but guess what? I've got this 5-year plan, and we're going to work it, and somehow you're going to still be ready for me. Yes, Lord, but that's not obedience. That's not obedience. If you're a parent, you know, yes, but is not obedience. That's doubt or questioning. And God says, why aren't you obeying me? Obey the Lord. Follow his commands without delay. Number two, obedience is following commands without deviation. Deviation. Deviation is swerving away from the path that's been made, deviating from. Maybe you've seen people on the road deviating, people walking down the street deviating. Well, we can do that with the Lord. Deviation. Yes, Lord, but couldn't I do it just a little bit different? Couldn't I do it just a little different way than what you said? God says that's not obedience. That's not obedience. Obedience is following God's command without deviation. Obedience, number three, is following God's command without drudgery. Drudgery. Dragging the feet. Oh, man, I got to do that again? Well, God says, well, you're, well, dummy, you haven't learned it the first time. Let's go back. Let's do it right. Yes, Lord, but you know I hate doing that. Hey, the Lord doesn't want you to hate doing what he says. He wants you to love what he says. The Bible tells us that God's commands are not grievous. It's not his fault that we don't like them. It's our own. Obedience is following commands without delay, without deviation, without drudgery. 1 John chapter 3, would you look there with me, please? 1 John chapter 3. And verse 22, looking at a couple verses there. First John 3:22 says this, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those commandments, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ, and look at this, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. Now, there's a lot of other commands in the Bible I want to share with you. If you read the scriptures, you'll find there's quite a few there. But the ones he says that help and encourage our prayer life is, number one, to put that faith in him and our Savior, and then to share the love that he's planned for us to do with one another. Share and love one another, he says. Obedience. Remember to obey the Lord. Someone wrote a poem about that some years ago. And it goes like this: I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely show the way. The eye's a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but example's always clear. Something we notice in our children as parents is that they seem to pick up the things a lot of times that we don't want them to pick up. Have you ever noticed that? Little things we say, little things we do, maybe the characteristics we have, sometimes they seem to pick up on that. I mean, right now. But the lessons we want them to learn takes work. The right things we'd like them to do and enjoy takes effort, takes time, and sometimes perseverance. God says, listen, don't be that way with me. Remember to obey me. Remember to obey me. To remember the Lord, remember to obey the Lord. Number three, let's go back, Joshua chapter 4. We're building a memorial to our Heavenly Father by remembering His miracles in our life. And then by remembering to obey Him. As we read what He has to say, as we understand this is what He wants, we do it without delay, deviation, or drudgery. And thirdly, we remember to give glory to the Lord. Remember to give glory to the Lord. Look again at verse 19, please. He says this, and the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you, until ye were passed over as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Remember to give glory to the Lord. The Bible tells us the Father deserves glory simply for who He is. Not even just what He does, but who He is. His attributes, the Bible says, describe who He is. His attributes are revealed by Himself through Scripture, through creation. Friends, and when you look outside and see the things, the amazing things God has done and created before us, it's impossible for me to believe that it all happened by chance and billions of years. How can these things happen when there's claims out there, false teachings, that explosions, by the way, what do explosions do? They blow things apart. They don't bring them back together. Or maybe it was some protoplasmic slime out in the galaxy some years ago. And they all got together eventually, and here we are today. Out of all those things, it takes far greater faith to believe that God did not create what we see than the simple faith to create what He did, which is everything. His creation tells us that He exists, and our very own conscience tells us there is someone greater than us out there that deserves honor and respect. Amen. The Scripture, creation, our very own conscience are revealed. He is revealed through those. And the Bible says that God's attributes are standards for you and me. Here's the level that He wants us to be at. The Bible talks about these in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. It's not from grandma and grandpa, by the way. It's not from mom or dad or that special someone. Love, the Bible says, real, pure, honest, sacrificial love is of God. 1 Peter 1, verse 15, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. God says, what's the level of holiness? He's the level of holiness. Amen. He's the level. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 18, but as God is true, our word toward you was not yea or nay. Truth, honesty, sharing what is true. Ephesians 4, let's look here. Ephesians chapter 4, would you go there with me, please? Ephesians chapter 4, another attribute of God. He says, this is your standard. This is what I'm molding you to be. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse number 32. Well, let me start with verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as who? God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. God's attributes, they're a standard for us. They're the mold. God says, I'm bringing you into that bitterness, that anger, that wrath, that tongue of yours, put it in my mold. Let me take care of it. Remember him. He deserves glory. And then the Bible tells us Jesus Christ deserves glory quite simply for the price that he paid. Let's look at this one. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And we're looking at verse number 20. Well, let me start with verse 19. Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, he says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now who paid the price for that body that belongs to the Lord? Who paid the price for you, for me, so that the Holy Spirit has a place to call his dwelling place, the temple, in you and me? Jesus paid the price. Amen. Jesus paid the price. Glorify Jesus for the price that he paid for you. And by the way, he's done so much more than that for you. Amen. But that's where we start our relationship with him, is understanding there was a price paid that I couldn't pay myself. In fact, if I tried, the Bible says it would be an eternity is the cost. Without Jesus, the Bible declares that those souls, that individual who rejects Jesus' price, his cost on the cross, the shed blood and his resurrection, rejecting that means I do have to take that cost on myself. And it starts when I draw my last breath. The Bible tells me that my soul will descend into a place the Bible calls Hades or hell. It's a real place and exists right now. There are souls there now. They are, the Bible tells us and indicates, there's no good thing about hell. It's dark, says there's darkness there. You're not there with a party. You're on your own. You're individual. Even if family and friends are there with you, there's no communication between in hell. You're all alone. And by the way, when people are there, they're there today, they remember what happened here in this life. As a matter of fact, the one testimony we have of an individual in hell, the Bible tells us that the one thing on his mind was that somebody would go back and tell his brethren about the need for salvation in Jesus. Oh, it's a terrible price, and Jesus paid it all. Amen. He paid it all. We simply need to accept his price that he paid for us. Heaven's totally opposite. It's not a place of darkness. It's a place of great light. As a matter of fact, the light never goes out in heaven. I changed the light bulb before y'all got here this morning. I wish this was heaven. We'd have to replace light bulbs. Amen. It's not a place where you're alone. The Bible talks about we'll be amongst the saints in heaven along with Jesus and our Heavenly Father. It's not a place where you can't communicate. As a matter of fact, the Bible says there's going to be singing all the time. And we'll be able to learn and grow and serve our Savior, even in heaven and for eternity. Oh, the benefits are so far greater when we just receive Christ and walk in Him. The Bible tells us He's the only way.
Amen.
Will you make your life a memorial, a remembrance of what God is? The miracles, the salvation, for who He is and glorifying Him in obedience. Turn with me as we close, 1 Peter chapter 2, please. 1 Peter chapter 2. Did you know God expects us to be that kind of a memorial for Him? 1 Peter chapter 2, we're looking at verse number 5. He says, ye also, talking to those who know Jesus, they're saints of God, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Oftentimes when we visit memorials, you notice they're built to last. They're not built out of plywood. They're built to last. Oftentimes much finances is put into it because what was done is meant to be remembered for all time and all generations. God says, here's what I would like you to be. Be a living memorial for me. Be a lively stone so that all who see you know who I am, know who my Son is, and can be reached with the gospel of Jesus. Will you remember the Lord today? Father, I thank you. Thank you for those who have been such great examples to us of who you are, the importance of knowing you, the importance of obeying you, and the importance of letting others know. Now, Lord, I pray, would you renew a commitment in us? Would you renew a devotion to you even now as we strive to live as lively stones in honor for you? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Would you stand with me, please, if you're able? As we're standing, our heads are still bowed, our eyes are still closed, but I'm going to ask you, if the Lord's spoken to you this morning, just a moment, I'm going to ask the piano to softly play the song we'll sing. And when she begins, if God's spoken to you and you need to get some things settled with Him, maybe it's just me to make that commitment to Him. Lord, it's been a long time. I want to make that with you again. Or maybe you never have. Let God start you on that journey again. Oh, how He loves to walk with us. When she begins, would you step out and just pray. Just talk to Him. You could pray right up here at the front. You could pray right in the seat you're at. Perhaps you're here this morning, you need Christ as Savior. Oh, how great it would be. The angels, the Bible says, would sing, and guess what? So would we. If a soul called on Christ, if that's you and your need, would you make that decision? You can do it in your seat. But I'd like to show you from the Bible so there's no question, there's no misunderstanding. Here's what God says. Why, how, and when to do it and be saved. Friends, if those are some decisions that we need to make today, would you respond as she begins to softly play right now?